The question was asked, when is a custom binding? What about a custom that comes about by mistake? You know, there's a story about Hasidim who used to have a dance. And the way the dance worked, everyone would dance. And when they'd reach a certain place in the dance, everyone would duck. So everyone knew when they reached that place, everyone would duck. So the circle went around and everyone that reached one point would duck. So someone researched it and realized that in the Rebbe's house, there was a beam that went there. So everyone would duck. And then the Rebbe moved, but they stayed with that custom. When you reach that place, you duck. Okay, so obviously there are customs that have nothing to do with halacha. It's like the girl that asks her mother, "Mom, why do you always cut the vegetables on both ends before you put them in the pot?" And the mother says, "Because my pot wasn't as big as your pot. I couldn't fit it in without cutting both ends off the vegetable." So some things have nothing to do with the custom. That's true. But our assumption is, as Tosfos writes in the Gemara, and is quoted by later commentaries as well, that a custom gets the name of a minhag when it's a custom that a community does and that community has a rabbinic authority guiding them. So that rabbinic authority would not let that custom evolve if it wasn't a correct custom. So when we see a community behaving a certain way, we can say, why would you do that? Like the Talmud says, Rabbi Gamliel's sons came to mikvah and they said to them, we don't let two brothers go to mikvah together. So his sons didn't say, hey guys, it's permissible. They said, fine, sure, if that's the minhag. Beautiful. Why? Because in this city, that's the minhag. They never heard of such a minhag. They had sources that said it's permissible for two brothers to go to mikveh together. But that didn't matter. The custom in that city was that two brothers don't go to mikveh together. They waited. They took turns. So you have minhagim. The Talmud tells us that they once sat on a bench. It was Shabbos, and it was a bench that was in the public square, but it was a bench that was used by the peddlers on weekdays. So they started yelling at them, what are you sitting doing business on Shabbos? We're not doing business on Shabbos. Yeah, but you're not allowed to sit on the peddler's bench on Shabbos. It doesn't say that anywhere. Ah, but that's their custom. So they got up and said, we're sorry. They didn't come and say, hey, you guys are off your rocker. There's no such prohibition. We know the Shas. Our father's the chief rabbi. You guys are full of baloney. They didn't say that. They said, that's the custom. Fine. So we respect the custom. When a community has a custom and they have a rabbinic authority that oversees their behavior, so then we say that that custom is obviously a custom that's worthy, that warrants our respect. So that's how we view customs, meaning there's a famous comment by the generation of Tosfos, it's quoted by numerous different opinions, that the word minhag has the same letters as gehinom. So minhag could also be foolishness. That's our custom, and then people do some things that are ridiculous. And that obviously we wouldn't respect any custom. We respect the custom when we know that it comes from a community where the community is being led by a responsible rabbinic authority, and the community listens to that authority. So then if the community has that custom, we respect it.